You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of Bison Report Radio. I'm your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me right off the top is South Dakota's own number three in your program, number one in your heart, Trevor Gebhardt. Geb, how are you doing, brother?
Doing well. It's my favorite week of the year, Ross. Let's get to it.
Yeah, it hasn't been that great of late, but we're here to turn that around. Let's pop real quick, excuse me, into the news. Kind of got what we expected a little bit in that the Dylan Hendricks injury is potentially very not good. He is for sure not playing this week against the Rabbits. It's a knee deal. Sounds like it's a swelling issue, something that he could eventually play through, but it's kind of a long-term question as to whether or not that's a good idea. I'm not sure it's, you know, the exact same thing that Grant Olson went through, but it's a not very great knee injury situation.
Right. The fact that Coach P alluded to life decisions need to be made, that's always a tough situation to be in. So regardless, thinking of the young man, obviously you don't want to see that in your sixth year because you come back to playing games like this. And unfortunately, he's going to miss it, and the team just has to move forward. So wishing him nothing but the best. Hopefully we do see him back selfishly on the field. But those are decisions that him and his family are going to have to make if that bridge has an opportunity to be crossed for him to step on the field at some point this year.
Yeah, and unfortunately, too, I mean, he's probably passed, and goodness, I mean, would he even want to come back for year seven? But I would guess that he's passed, you know, the point of a medical redshirt NDSU too far into the season. He's played in all the games. I can't imagine, you know, seeing him again in a Bison uniform if he doesn't return this season. Like, I cannot imagine Dylan Hendricks rolling out there for 2025 unless he has plans on being Dr. Hendricks. And I don't know that we even would be able to facilitate
him and Cam Rising can have Zoom calls together and talk about their experiences. Yeah.
Rest in peace, of course, to legendary North Dakota State wrestling coach Bucky Maughan. We certainly want to send condolences to his family, specifically, you know, Brett Maughan and Jack. Brett was a longtime Bison wrestling assistant and is now the head coach for wrestling at Fargo North. Jack is, of course, a senior associate AD at NDSU, and he has a key role in fundraising for the athletic department. You see Jack around all the time, and both are just top shelf guys. They're great human beings, and Bucky, of course, just an absolute legend in Bison athletics history. So we want to acknowledge, of course, that passing occurred. The game, of course, is going to be at 7 p.m. It will be nationally televised on ESPN2. It's a big platform. The primetime spot on, it's been sometimes at 7, sometimes at 8, depending on scheduling. But the primetime spot on ESPN2 has averaged 432,000 viewers over the last 4 weeks. So potentially a huge platform for North Dakota State and frankly, South Dakota State football here on the Deuce this Saturday night. Real briefly, going through the SIU recap, they'll never admit it, Trev, but to me, it seemed like the game before the game.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, there's, and I talked about this on 1660 yesterday, there's an element of human nature involved here. I mean, you got a big rivalry game in UND avenging a loss from a season ago that was embarrassing. So you knew you're going to get up for that. Now you go on the road against a team that you're watching on tape that is, quite frankly, awful. There's not a lot of good being shown in that film study. in your mind, there's just that little bit of like, okay, we've got this national championship implication type setup game next week. Let's just have more points on the scoreboard and get home. They did that. And you do want to approach every week the same. But again, human nature says, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a let's gear up for this next one coming up.
Crazy run defense stats yet again. North Dakota State, we'll talk about this a little bit later. North Dakota State giving up like 45 yards rushing per game in conference play.
Is that good?
Yeah, and they're allowing 1.8 yards per carry. You know, I was highly critical of the run defense in the preseason, as Polisek calls it, the non-conference slate, whatever you may say. I think there were some structural changes. Obviously, there have been some personnel changes and a real commitment to stopping the run that is, in my opinion, right now, highly effective. They made the freshman QB beat them and he couldn't. I mean, that to me, that was sort of the gist of that, was they dared SIU to get it done with a true freshman quarterback, throws the pick, but just generally, even with as good as that receiver is, his name's escaping me right now, but as good as that receiver is, like, just didn't get much, because I don't know if the QB wasn't able to get him. I don't know if the coverage was great down the field, but obviously anytime you hold a team to 3 points, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, in a situation like that, just make the game too fast for the young man. I mean, that's really what it came down to. I mean, if you can do that, he's going to be scrambling and be put in situations he's just simply never seen before. And he's more than likely not going to be successful unless he's like a dude. And he's just completely unknown commodity. That clearly wasn't the case. And that receiver that you alluded to, he was really fast. I did like watching him play, but by and large, they got the job done. They did what they had to do, so that way they can come into this game focused on looking forward and taking care of business to go in the Valley.
Goodness gracious. Keontez Lewis, the young man's name, the Wisconsin transfer. As you mentioned, fun to watch. Vincent Davis was fun to watch too at 5'8". I thought he was a tough guy to kind of get corralled. But just SIU didn't have enough punch offensively on a day that NDSU didn't have a ton of punch offensively either. Cam Miller, to me, not looking 100%. Said going into the game, I wouldn't have played him. Doesn't matter what I think. But you definitely saw the limping coming off the field on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. I thought it affected some of, you know, like their fourth and short calls. I wouldn't have him on the field at all, because if it's fourth and one, what is a limping Cam Miller going to do to hurt you? Nothing. I mean, the failed one to Marty Brown, everyone in the stadium knew who the ball was going to, because seven is hurt, right? So, right. And you can say, well, everybody knows that Cole Payton's going to keep the ball. Yeah, unless he doesn't.
You know, right.
Unless he doesn't. So that affected the game plan. I would have liked, you know, the Saturday off for number seven to get ready for this one. Didn't happen. Hopefully there's no effect moving forward. Like, hopefully, you know, he wouldn't have been at 90% for SDSU if he wouldn't have played last week, and now he's at 70. You just hope it doesn't affect this game. But I tell you what, Trev, they don't just give away three touchdown conference road wins.
Well, that's a fact. I mean, even in the heyday, or the golden years, the glory days, whatever you want to call it, back when I played, we had games that we were supposed to blow teams out of the water, and we'd come out of there with a, you know, 7 to 10 point win. You know, so if you can just find a way to have more points on the scoreboard, you win every game by one, you're still undefeated. So, you know, for Cam's sake, I think the encouraging thing is Coach P, I think he said it in his presser, Cam looked better this Monday than he did last Monday. And I think that's a good sign. So I'd imagine he's probably just going to take the reps and see the looks that he has to see for this week. And then by and large, it's just gear up for Saturday, because his multi-threat capacity is going to be needed in every which way possible in a game like this.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You wonder how big the Cole Payton package is or isn't. Beating South Dakota State is something that Cam Miller's not been able to. I'm not a big QB wins guy, but I mean, when he's been the quarterback, they haven't gotten it done. And I'm not putting that all on him, but like, that would be a way for him to go out for sure. Polisek also admitted on his Tuesday press conference exactly what you basically said, which is he was fine with 17-3 and let's get on the damn plane. I mean, it got to a point where he's just like, let's put this one in the left-hand column for W and get the hell out of Carbondale. Mission accomplished, style points unnecessary. let's pop right into what the people came here for, and that is the South Dakota State preview. I tell you what, man, this is a massive game. Forget the Rock, forget the rivalry, forget it all. It's a massive game. I'll break it down for you this way, Trev. And I'll tell you this much. Coaching staff, earmuffs. Coaching staff, put your hands over your ears, because otherwise I'm going to get yelled at. NDSU is going to be double-digit favorites over UNI at home, Missouri State, and Murray State. I mean, Murray State, my goodness. I might send in the forfeit letter. Like, bad stuff might happen to the Murray State.
Side note, former Bison quarterback is their starting quarterback. He was a walk-on. He was actually from my high school alma mater, Jaden Johansson.
Shout out. Okay.
Yeah, yep. Great kid, great family. My dad coached his mom in high school track. So we've known them for years. Really good kid. Definitely want to see him do well. He's just going to be fighting an uphill battle that day.
I was going to say, unfortunately, yeah. bad stuff's
going to happen to Jaden, unfortunately.
So anyway, getting back into it, like I said, coaches, earmuffs. As we stand, NDSU is 6-1. Trev, look at me in my face. NDSU is 9-1 right now. They're 9-1. Sorry, they just are.
Yeah.
They're not. After seeing what I've seen from you and I have 0% chance they're losing at Murray or hosting Missouri State. It's just not happening. UNI, sometimes you'd give them a chance to win. I'm not giving UNI a chance in the Fargo Dome with what I have seen from them this year. I'm just not.
Yeah, right.
So to me, okay, let's say NDSU's 9-1, right? The last time NDSU played in Vermilion, the Bison won 45-17. There is an extremely, extremely high chance that North Dakota State goes 10-2 if they lose this game, or 11-1 if they don't. I think it's also very unlikely, though I don't know where the SDSU-USD game is this year. I think it's unlikely that SDSU drops a game that isn't this one.
Yeah, right.
So to me, I think this is the fight for the number one seed and the easiest path through the FCS playoffs. I think this is for the conference championship tomorrow, because I don't believe in my heart of hearts that the loser of this game will lose another game. Nor do I believe that if NDSU does lose this game, SDSU is going to find a loss to split the conference championship with them. I don't think the Rabbits are going to find a loss. I think it's that top heavy.
Well, then either way, if you get that loss, you still got the auto bid because of the tiebreaker. So that's going to kind of catapult you. Now, the only caveat to that, traditionally speaking, a Missouri Valley standalone champion that only has one FBS loss has a very, very good argument resume to go get the number one seed. The only caveat to that is Montana State going undefeated. Not all FBS wins are created equal. New Mexico,
right.
It's just, but that's on their resume. And that's what the committee's going to be looking at when they're looking at a sheet of paper, FBS win.
Sure.
In all caps with a little asterisk by it.
Well, so I look forward to seeing Montana State in Frisco.
Right.
see how that goes again.
I do agree, though. It's certainly from a biased lens, but I do fully believe in a one loss to a Power Four program, Missouri Valley champion that's undefeated in the Valley should be the number one seed, because that would be the best team in the country.
These are the best two teams in the country. They just are. I'm sorry, they are. It's simply time to win this game. It's been too long. The two teams are too evenly matched for one team to win this many times in a row, period. I know you throw the COVID spring loss out. I mean, the 2020 Bison would have cracked South Dakota State had COVID not happened, right?
Right.
But there's nothing to say that NDSU that COVID affected the 2021 loss, the 2022 loss, or the 2023 loss. Those are just losses. And it's time. Cam Miller deserves it. I mentioned to Coach Polasek in the press conference, you can accomplish all of your goals. You can absolutely lose this game and win the national championship. You can lose this game and win the Valley championship. I think people are just sick of it. Like, I don't think the players have any interest in losing this game. I know the fans don't. It's just time.
Well, it's part of a rivalry. I mean, if it's that one-sided for that long, it clearly has been. You need to go make your stamp, especially when you have a full recruiting class that hasn't gotten the job done.
Yeah.
It's time. And there can't be any stone unturned, pun intended.
And keep in mind, one of those teams that lost to South Dakota State won the national championship by a billion. crushed Montana State in Frisco.
Right. After Montana State went and beat SDSU.
Right. But still lost the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this, just my opinion, by resume, NDSU is the better team.
On a paper. Yeah. From a result standpoint, but because you're considering a D2 opponent with SDSU who was on legitimately their fourth string quarterback, legitimately.
Yeah.
They were on their fourth string quarterback and kind of just ho-hum their way to that one too. Now, where the pendulum has swung the past few weeks.
Strength is victory. Yeah.
South Dakota State has started to look like the last two seasons of what the Jackrabbits put on tape.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting dynamic in this, and that's what makes this fun for us to talk about, is because they look primed to – it's not the Jackrabbits of old, because that's who they are becoming. They're the premier program right now.
Right.
In current time frame. Premier program at FCS. So, but as far as like, if you just had to take their resumes right now and stack them against each other in the playoffs, yeah, I think blind resume, you would say North Dakota State does have a stronger one.
Because I don't think NDSU's wins at Illinois State or their home win over UND is any less impressive than anything that South Dakota State has done.
Yeah, especially when you factor in the Colorado piece and what Colorado.
And that's the big one, right? If we're actually going to stack it, it's like, okay, Oklahoma State is not as good as Colorado. At least that's what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State bullied SDSU, and that's why the Sagarin thing is throwing me off, because I think right now in the Sagarin, SDSU is 39th and Oklahoma State is 40th.
They are. That's accurate. I looked that up on Sunday.
How? we saw the two teams play, and Oklahoma State wiped the floor with South Dakota State. And like I said, Colorado's better. NDSU probably should have won that game. I mean, Colorado is legitimately better than Oklahoma State. Any way you want to slice it. Record. Mm-hmm. Big 12 record. Common opponents. Any way you want to slice it. And SDSU just didn't belong on the same field as the Cowboys, period. Now, one game sample size, I get it, but that's where I'm coming from a resume standpoint. You got the D2 win that was not impressive, and you got the FBS loss, and, you know, call NDSU's a moral victory, whatever you want to call it. NDSU's performance against Colorado was light years ahead of what the Jacks put on tape against Oklahoma State. Here's the thing, though, Trev, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
None of it means anything. It really doesn't, because it's 60 minutes at the Fargo Dome for the Rock, period. I have a hard time, especially I do not understand SDSU being viewed as six points better than NDSU on a neutral field, because to be a 3-point favorite at NDSU's house, I got a problem with that. I don't get it. And maybe obviously I think normally if you're only 2.5, 3-point favorites, if you win, you also cover. I don't see that when I watch these two teams play. I find it disrespectful. We'll find out, you know, obviously who's right or wrong there. But I've never really completely bought into this Jackrabbit group because of two things. One was watching them against Oklahoma State. And then one, honestly, too, is just they've never proven that they can reload. We'll see. But the respect that I have for the guys that have gone, McCormick, right, the left tackle whose name is escaping me, Isaiah Davis, before him,
Greenfield. Strong,
yeah, Green, yeah, Greenfield. Yeah, Garrett Greenfield, 100%. The kid that left for one of the tackles ended up like transferring up, I think. Maybe I don't remember 100%. But then losing Isaiah Davis, of course, losing Pierre Strong Jr. before that, I have a ton of respect for obviously the Yonke twins, Zach Hines and Tucker Kraft no longer there. 2 years ago, losing Reese Winkleman, and I think Caleb Sanders was the defensive tackle who was such a tremendous pain in the butt. Look at all of what was lost, and it's hard for me to believe with all that NDSU brought back that, like, okay, all these guys that were backups for SDSU, maybe they're really good, but I haven't seen anything. Like, the only team that they've played that's in NDSU stratosphere is Oklahoma State, and they got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, they beat the teams on the schedule. They did what they had to do. Right. I'm not saying anything other than that, but I just have so much respect for what has come before that. It needs to be proven to me that South Dakota State has depth or can reload, or maybe it was just a bunch of 60 year guys that stuck around and didn't transfer out and they won two titles. when they were 23, 24, 25 years old, and that's great. But, you know, I need to be proven wrong, or at least it needs to be proven that this is a program and not a team. And really, the last 2 years, they were a team. That was the team, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah, Kraft went to the league, but, like, they still brought everyone else back.
Yeah, I think there's one element here that we can't understate, and I've been the beneficiary of experiencing this myself, is the guys that were behind them, whether they're backups or a significant contributor, those guys have seen and know how to win. And that's the part that they have that belief that I know, like we had going from 13 to 14, we lose our entire coaching staff with the exception of three individuals.
Yeah.
One was named Chris Kleiman, that, you know, okay, us in the building know what Chris Kleiman brings to the table, and clearly the entire country does now. And then we had a redheaded quarterback that nobody really quite knew about. So
that one worked out.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, like, we weren't necessarily counted out. I don't necessarily like it when people say that. But there's not that element of, like, hey, there's a group of 15, 16 guys that have won a heck of a lot of football games too, and they know how to do it. That locker room in Brookings fully believes that. Whether they were to the same level of the guys we just mentioned or not, right now they're not. Simply because they've got, you know, a whole half of a season to play in the playoffs, and, you know, they can prove us wrong in that element. But, like, I know for a fact that, based off my own experience, that the guys in that locker room in Brookings do believe that they can go mimic the same things because they have personally done it to an extent themselves. And we'll see how that bodes, you know, this weekend.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree. One thing that I find very interesting is the quarterback situation. Mark Gronowski is the defending Walter Payton award winner. I have my thoughts about that last year, made them very vocal. But it has sort of shown now that there's potential that Gronowski was a huge benefactor of the players playing around him. And look, all quarterbacks are, I get it 100%, but you look just strictly and people can say these are nonsense, whatever, that's fine. But I'm looking right now at the Pro Football Focus college quarterback grading. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they watch every snap they don't watch every snap. They do. You want to know why? Because FCS programs pay them tens of thousands of dollars to do it. So they do it. Mm-hmm. It's, people are like, PFF doesn't watch FCS. Yeah, they do, because they get big old checks to do it. Right now, 11 quarterbacks in the Valley have taken at least 100, or have dropped back to pass at least 100 times. Okay. Mark Gronowski ranks in passing grade 10th. Of those 11, he is in front of only Simon Romfo from UND. Overall offensive grade, which also brings in the ability to run. Overall offensive grade, Gronowski is 9th, ahead of now Aiden Dunn and Romfo. Now, Trevor Gibbard, am I here to tell you that Mark Gronowski is the 10th best quarterback in the Valley?
No, I think everybody knows.
No. That. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that the production, the grading, I mean, you can look at you know, whatever you want right now in yards per attempt. Gronowski is tied for 4th in touchdown passes. He's 3rd. He's thrown 5 picks, which Cam has 0. There are just a number of things. I mean, his passer rating is 4th. And while none of these numbers are terrible, again, we're talking about people going in and grading the film saying he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the conference. I'm not going to go there. I'm not. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. But the point that I am trying to make is that he's been super mortal. He has been super mortal. He is, you know, statistically on paper, the 4th, 5th, 6th best QB in the league this year. And then the guys that go in and watch the film and get paid tens of thousands of dollars to watch the film. Again, I'm just presenting the information. This is not my opinion. Are currently grading Gronowski as one of the worst QBs in the Valley. And I just have to, I'm literally, this is not an opinion. I am repeating the information that I'm looking at on the screen.
Right. That's very interesting. I never would have guessed that. Purely by the results that he translates on the field. And where my head goes with that is, like, because I don't think they were doing this back when I was playing. Would we have, like, historical figures of where Brock would have landed on some of these?
No, really, the FCS product started, and I kind of, like, when Trey was when, so We have good numbers for Trey. We have good numbers for Cam.
I can Brock Easton and Carson, those are all.
Yeah, right. And a lot of it too is like they would go in and grade some FCS stuff too if that team had a like stud NFL draft prospect on it. Like
it was kind of necessary.
Like NDSU with like Raidens. Well, Raidens is a top 50 player. So PFF would go back in and like regrade all of the Bison offense because it's their process. They're not just going to watch Dylan. They watch the whole offense. So that's kind of, or like, now back then I know it didn't happen, but like Jimmy Garoppolo probably would have gotten all of Eastern Illinois graded because he was that dude. Carson right. would have gotten all of NDSU regraded because he was that dude. So right now, no, those numbers, but like just as an example, I'll move it back to 2023 and it kind of a similar type of thing where I was making the, I don't know what has happened here. I was making the argument that, that Cam Miller was the top guy, but Gronowski was like right there. Right there.
Are you talking 23
or 20 last year? Right now, last year, Cam Miller led the FCS with a passer grade of 94.1, which is elite. And Gronowski was right there at 90.3. So, like, I made the argument that Cam was playing better than Gronowski just by a hair. And now, what they're saying, and this is not like obviously, this is not a grading system that hates Mark Gronowski because they gave him basically second team All American honors based on their season. Now it's down here based on right. what they're seeing on film. Their grading system is okay. not particularly liking what Gronowski is putting down on film.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I definitely want to guess that again, kind of going back to the results factor and just kind of what he's done from a historical perspective, because all he's done is win.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, but from a peer eye test standpoint up to this current moment in time for the 24 season. Yeah. I mean,
it's just not what it has been.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because Cam has just played lights out. I mean, everyone has talked about that ad nauseum. So that'll be interesting to see how that factors into this week. If that continues, how that affects the game potentially. But I really think it's going to come down to run defense.
Yep. We're going to find out if it's for real. Right. Defensively for the Jackrabbits, Adam Bach, seems like he's been there forever, but he was a high school teammate of Cam Miller, so we can't speak ill of Adam Bach if we're not going to make fun of Cam for being here since 1996. yeah. Tucker Large is a defensive back and one of my favorite players that I've watched play at South Dakota State. I love Tucker Large.
Very good.
I don't know as a pro prospect, but I enjoy watching him play football. Been out the last few weeks, but he's back on the depth chart. Will he be able to go? I think he would potentially be big in run support against Marty Brown and also potentially able to help take away Joe Stuffel, which has been certainly North Dakota State's option B up to this point. I mean, if it's not Bryce Lance with all the injuries that they've sort of had, it's been Joe Stuffel. Gus Miller, the center, also one of my favorite Jackrabbits of all time. Gus Miller rules. The Johnson brothers are simply not Pierre Strong Jr. or Isaiah Davis. They simply are not. They're good players, but they're more home run hitters where it was like, how are we going to get Pierre Strong Jr. or Isaiah Davis to the ground? You get a hand on either of these Johnsons, generally you can take them down. And NDSU's been so dominant in Valley play against the run. Yeah, there's 2 points for me in this game. Point number one is stop the run. Now, do I anticipate 1.8 yards per carry? Do I anticipate 45 rushing yards for the Jacks? No.
No.
But if it's 85 or 103, I think NDSU wins a football game. And I think this is really going to either lay bare that this was a weak schedule and lay bare that, well, NDSU actually had unfixable problems in run defense, or NDSU actually just played opponents that weren't very good, or it's going to lay bare, the Bison are back.
Yeah, I mean, so I want to get to your point about the rush defense, because where my head goes for this particular game, if a team is held below 150 yards rushing, I think that team will lose.
Okay, I buy that.
And these two running backs, the thing that they have they're more gettable in terms of being able to bring to the ground than, you know, Pierre Strong and I don't know why his name.
Isaiah Davis.
He plays for Isaiah Davis. Yeah, I watched him play in a preseason game. I should have
in the NFL.
Yeah, he turned out to be an okay player. These guys do have a shiftiness to them that if you let them get loose, they can make for a long day. So getting a hat on them early in this game, whether that's a big hit, a, you know, kind of by committee type tackle, something like that, you got to set the tone early.
The safeties, Oscar and Sibomana have to tackle.
Very well.
That D gap, that's got to get shut down. The D gap has to get shut down.
Yes, because if those two get into that hole to the second level, it's going to become problematic. They're gone.
Out the gate.
You know, they're good players. We're not trying to knock them in any sense, saying they're not Pierre Strong and Isaiah Davis.
Bro, both
they're just a different type of players. Yeah, there's just different types of players. And they have different strengths. There's something wrong with that. And the biggest thing is you cannot keep them in space or let them get in space, rather.
Still, though, the Jacks, 39 points a game, they're good offensively. Okay, we can talk about how much Gronowski has not been Gronowski. We can talk about, you know, the what they were and what they no longer are. We can talk about all that stuff all day. They're still averaging 39 a game. They just put 63 on another Division I opponent. They're still the Rabbits, okay? They're still the Rabbits. Here's my thing. Here's my number two, right? Cover Griffin Wilde. I don't care how. Get it done. Here's why. Here's why the Jackrabbits were so gosh darn impossible to defend. Because if it wasn't Davis and it wasn't Pierre Strong Jr., then it was Kraft and Hines. And if it wasn't Kraft and Hines, then it was Yonke and Yonke. And you just had four legitimate threats, if not sometimes five, on the field at all times. That is not these Rabbits. Okay. Griffin Wilde has almost double the yards as their second leading wide receiver. And the third leading receiver on the Jackrabbits is a running back. The tight ends and whatever you would want to call like wide receiver three, they're just gone. Like the tight ends and the other wide receivers are basically no longer a part of the offense. And so if you can take away the run, and these are big ifs, these are ifs in capital I, capital F. If you can take away the run, and if you can take away Griffin Wilde, there's not enough else there to win the game. I simply believe there is not enough else there to win the game.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. The couple dynamics, I think it's shifted a little bit, you know, because they've got in more recent weeks, the other South Dakota kid, Chase Mason, I think he didn't even go to South Dakota State initially. I think he went to play baseball or something like that.
I think he might still play baseball for them.
Okay. I feel like he went to like K-State or something. We should look that up, or someone should.
I can effort that while you're talking.
Okay. And then they've got that third running back who got loose a few times against Southeast Louisiana, the freshman kid. They kind of remind me a little bit of Zenner, like a stronger version of Zenner.
He played at Nebraska.
Okay.
Nebraska. This is easy. Let's get the baseball roster for the Rabbits.
Oh, you're going to see, if he's still playing baseball. I'm fully in agreement with you in terms of like it's a –
I'm going to go with he is not playing baseball currently.
He
is not playing baseball currently.
Either way, they've got.
Sorry.
What?
No, nothing. It was a little bit of a detour, but no, I do not see him on the 2024 or 2025 baseball roster. You may continue.
Okay. Fully in agreement with you. I mean, you got Tucker Kraft, who's having a tremendous season with the Green Bay Packers. You just don't replace that overnight. Another Sioux Falls, Washington kid in Hines, who is a tremendous player for them. And then obviously the Yankee twins, they don't have that type of weaponry, but they'd have guys that are very athletic and capable enough in different capacities where they can get creative enough to get them the ball. And I think they've shown that. So, you know, the biggest thing becomes, yes, you can shut down Griffin Wilde. Are you preparing for Chase Mason in different capacities? Because they've lined him up everywhere. Three running back sets.
To me, the Chase Mason stuff goes into what I said about run defense, though. Because I'm not worried about Chase Mason as a thrower. In the same way that you could say the same thing about Cole Payton.
Cole Payton, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the thing about the Jacks, though, that always leaves like a big question mark. It's like, and they've done this forever. They go into this North Dakota State game showing completely new packages that they haven't shown all season.
Yeah, it's the UND thing, but to a higher degree.
It's to an nth degree. Like, yeah. I mean, it is a completely new, like they hadn't shown.
They unload the clip. And look, man, I'm no longer talking junk about it. They unload the clip. Like this is their game to win. And now they're winning the title too. So I can't make fun of it anymore, but they unload the clip.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that I kind of go, what else are they cooking up?
Oh, they'll do something
personnel
dumb.
Personnel that's in new capacities. That's outside of your traditional, hey, here's our two tight ends that are freaks. Here's our twin brothers that can speak telepathically and they're just on the same page at all times.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing that I kind of sit there and look at. Like, are they bringing out the two Johnson kids and the Voorhees kid in a certain package that they haven't shown yet? Are they going to go Delta now? Yeah. And then, you know, flex out Chase Mason on top of that. What trick plays are they going to run that we ran at one point in time? They've done that.
Yeah, the old fumble rookie.
Yeah, they did that to us. So, you know, I think getting back to your point about stopping the run, you don't let Wilde get loose. There is going to be a significant difference in the game. Because if they do get loose, it could be a long night.
Yeah. I think, fortunately, NDSU's offense is, I think, has enough firepower to where if it needs to turn into a slugfest, it can. I don't know that the
Bison. Yeah, the same can be said about the Bison offense.
Because, Paul Sek has talked about Raja, right, and preserving that red shirt and pointing out the games that they'll want him in. Raja did not play against SIU. I think you're going to get Raja. You're going to get Braylon. Obviously, you add that into Bryce Lance. You add that into Makai Collins. And then Stuffle. NDSU is going to, like, Cam Miller is going to have all the stones in the Infinity Gauntlet. Okay, he's going to be able to go full Thanos here. And that's my last point here, Trev, as it comes down to Cam. To me, and I'm not saying that his legacy is trash if he doesn't win this game, but this is a huge, huge legacy game for Cam Miller. He has, as the starting quarterback, not beaten South Dakota State. That includes, obviously, a loss in the national championship game. Other than that, he's got everything. Right now, I think he's the front runner, though I have no faith in these people. Right now, I think he's the front runner for the Walter Payton Award. Right now, he has won a national championship as the starting quarterback of the North Dakota State University Bison. He's closing in on multiple records. He holds the record for rushing touchdowns by a QB in Valley history. Like, Cam Miller is, to me, a no-brainer NDSU Hall of Famer 15 years down the road. To me.
Yeah.
With that said, go win this game. Go get the rock. Go win the game. He was last year and is this year the better quarterback. He is the best player on the field, period. Cam Miller's the best player on the field. Go win the game. Whatever needs to happen, go win the game. Now, he should have a win against the Rabbits under his belt. I will never forgive that stupid Green Arrow celebration flag because – that took points off the NDSU would have won that game running away.
Yeah.
If not for this celebration, they would have won that game running away. He should already have a win, but I don't think that changes what happens at the end of the season. I think SDSU still probably wins the national title, but this is a legacy game for Cam Miller. He needs to be the best player on the field. I wish his ankle was healthy, but he's got the weapons. He's got the experience. It is time for him. And I'm a huge QB wins aren't a thing guy. Wins are team accomplishments. But with that said, Cam Miller, go win the game.
Well, to me, it's very simple. Anyone who follows FCS football closely knows that right now, Cam Miller is the best player in FCS football.
100%.
There's no better opportunity to showcase it. And to make people who don't know that yet, then Saturday.
And look, the last time it was a showcase game, he carved Colorado on national TV. Carved them.
So I'm fully in agreement with you there. Definitely rooting for him hard because this could be a cemented legacy type game performance and opportunity for the young man.
100%. All right, prediction time. Trev, I'm going to let you go first.
So the last two, maybe three, I have projected SDSU to win. And we've gotten things thrown in our face. It's like, guys, what NDSU has done the past 15 years, like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like this game has that feel to it that very much indicates like, okay, the Rock's coming back to Fargo. This group's finally going to get their win against South Dakota State. Like you said, SDSU I'd probably pick them too to win the national title. There has to come a point in a rivalry game where you have two very evenly matched teams where you say enough is enough. It's at home. You're on primetime television. It's a night game. That place is going to be raucous. You got to go and seize the opportunity in the moment because it's very likely you might not get another one of these ever. Because of those circumstances, I will take North Dakota State 34, South Dakota State 27.
I'm right there with you. I will say, and I'm going to catch hell for this, I'm not going to pick it, but I'm going to tell you right now, I think a Bison blowout is on the menu. Wow. I think the energy level is that high. I think you saw, if you make South Dakota State one-dimensional, what can happen to them in the Oklahoma State game. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think – I think it's on the menu. I think it can happen. What I am projecting to happen is NDSU 30, South Dakota State 24. I think the Rock comes home. I think people, obviously, at 10 o'clock at night go out, maybe make some questionable decisions. But I will say this. Bison crowd. I know this game is going to be sold out. You showed up against UND. You need to show up against South Dakota State. If even one time you cause a false start penalty that turns a 7-point touchdown into a 3-point field goal, that's 4 points. That could be the difference in the game. One time you turn a 3rd-and-1 into a 3rd-and-6 and the Jacks don't convert and they punt, that is the end of a possession one time. Be loud on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd downs. Come ready. It's at 7 o'clock. You got no excuses. Come ready for this game. I've got the Bison 30 and the Rabbits 24.
I'll put it this way because I want to add on to that. I've obviously benefited from those loud crowds in my career. Back when it was kind of new, it was fresh, it was fun, it was exciting, it was the thing to do. When I sit here and tell you that noise factor made a difference, I'm not just blowing smoke because it sounds cool and fun and we just want people to show up to the game. It truly mattered. Like, there were numerous times in games, especially playoff games, which that's what this environment should be on Saturday. I couldn't even hear myself think. I would literally hear like the sound waves rushing by my ear. That's the type of element environment that has to be created because that's the things that are going to make the difference that could propel this team to a level that we need to get back to. Enjoy it. We don't know when these opportunities are going to present themselves again. Hopefully it's in a new manner in FBS at some point. That's a whole different subject for another day.
Right. Yeah. Not today's pod.
No, it's not. But that's what I'm getting at. It's like, enjoy this.
Yeah.
Make it your own. Be loud, have fun, and help something that we know and love have an opportunity to be successful. Because it does matter and it does make a difference. Because those players can feel it. Kinetic energy is real.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Trevor, so much for your time. Thank you, wonderful people, for listening. Have a phenomenal Marker weekend and go Bison.